Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, online fitness coach, nutritionist, and 3 times best-selling author, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is a long overdue conversation with somebody I've known for nearly 10 years now. That is with IFBB pro bodybuilder Blessing Awadubi on discovering your passion, the power of gratitude, and how to stop giving a fuck what people think about you. This is one of these podcast episodes that is so motivational, so inspiring, and even if you have no interest in bodybuilding or even any interest in sport, the mindset side of the angle we take today's podcast from is phenomenal. When we talk about his incredible backstory about being smuggled from Nigeria to Ireland at the age of 9 and growing up in Mayo and joining a gym to help defend himself. And anyone that's struggling at the minute to follow something that they're passionate about and believe in their dream and who are struggling with those who are around them, I think listening to Blessing and his experience with those who just didn't believe in what he was doing and how he was able to overcome that and the mindset that it took to do that is so motivational and will get you up and going off the back of this podcast. The one thing I'll say, for those of you who aren't Irish listening to this podcast, Blessing is an Irish Nigerian, so his accent can be a little bit difficult for non-Irish people to understand. So you might have to have a more closely listened ear for this episode. We have a microphone, and again, it shouldn't be an issue. I think anyone from Ireland would be fine. Anyone from Nigeria or Africa listening to this would also be fine. But I think if you are in Australia, if you are in New Zealand, Canada, America, it might take a more closely listened to ear for this podcast. So without further ado, here is this incredibly inspiring and motivational conversation with somebody who has grown to 1.8 million followers on Instagram and has blown up on the social media scene, IFBB pro Blessing Awadubi, on discovering your passion, the power of gratitude, and how to stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Blessing Awadubi. Blessing is an Irish-Nigerian IFBB pro bodybuilder and 2-time Arnold champion. His Instagram page has over 1.8 million followers. And interestingly enough, a good portion of his more than 8.1 million followers have become a fan of his without knowing about his bodybuilding endeavors. Instead, he's gotten a following from his hilarious gym sketches and great sense of humor. Blessing hopes to change some of the stigma around bodybuilders being too serious and aggressive. And as someone who's known him for years, I can definitely say that he's doing that video by video and post by post. I'm looking forward to talking all things mindset, bodybuilding, and social media in general in today's episode. Blessing, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, my man, you got the boogeyman on your podcast.
Man, I'm so excited for this. Boogeyman
on your podcast.
Boogeyman, Blessing. Talk to us about your backstory.
Dude. First of all, man, bro, it's like, it's actually kind of nice to kind of, you know, get to chop it up. Because it's been a while, bro. It's like, fuck, I remember I met you on one of the shows, a fitness extravaganza, some shit like that.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it's 2011, 12. Yeah. So I know you used to compete back in the day as well. So fuck, man, good to see you, bro. You're looking good, actually.
Babe, same as you.
Awesome. And, yeah, man.
And I've been praising you from afar because you're one of the nicest guys. And literally, as you've exploded and as you've blown up, you haven't changed a bit. And it's just so amazing to see. So I love that. And for people who are listening, there's a good chunk of the audience will know who you are. There's probably a good chunk who might not as well, because you're an Irish native, a Mayo man who...
Yes, sir. Mayo for Sam, all the way till the day I die.
2022 is going to be...
It will happen. It will happen.
It 100% will, Blessing. But talk to us about your backstory, because you grew up in Mayo as kind of a scrawny kid, and now you are one of the leading bodybuilders in the world who's having an incredible impact on people with your amazing viral content that is just side-splitting. Like, I've literally been in tears at some of your videos. They're so funny. But talk to us about your backstory and kind of what got you into lifting weights when you were a scrawny kid and, you know, being bullied, I know, in Mayo, and it led you down that path. Talk to us about that.
I mean, you know, this is actually a story that I've never really told, especially, you know, growing up in Ireland. I think this is probably one of the first podcasts in Ireland, UK, that I will be telling this story. A lot of people don't actually know how, you know, I got from Nigeria to Ireland. Even a lot of my friends, still, now that they've seen some of my podcasts, some of where I've told the story, like, wow, really? That's really how, when I'd be doing this podcast, I'd be like, you know, I actually got smuggled from Nigeria to Ireland at the age of 9. They're like, what the heck? What happened? How? You know, and that's a true story, you know, and that's a story. I couldn't tell the story when I was living in Ireland. You're scared of, you know, being deported, getting in trouble. So a lot of my, you know, classmates, you know, like, they're not watching. It's like, what? Really? That's how you never told us. All my friends back, I'm like, what? You couldn't speak on things like that, you know, because you think you were, this is where we are right now. And as always, I always, you know, love to tell the story because my goal in life is to be able to inspire others out there. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you're from. As long as you have a dream, you have a goal, you know, just fucking go after it, bro. Like, people will say shit, you know, but as long as you believe in yourself, you can actually turn your dreams to reality. I moved to Ireland when I was nine. Of course, I came from a very poor family. You ever seen one of them African kids carrying water on top of their heads, you know, carrying firewood, you know, walking miles to get fresh water to drink? That was me. You know, my father was a farmer. My mother would stay home. We had nothing, bro. Like, so, and us getting into Europe, it was idea for parents of, you know, always trying to just to give us a better life. You know, my mother sent myself and my brother to Europe for a better education. The way that it was done, it was it wasn't the normal way, you know. So yeah, man. So that's where fitness started for me. When I started working out when I was like 14. I was skinny, bro. I was skinny bone. Growing up in Mayo as well, you know, you got to deal with a lot of, you know, you got to deal with travelers. You got to deal with a lot of fucking shit. You just got to be able to defend yourself. So that's what drove me to the weight room. And then I just fell in love with working out. You know, even when I was like, say, 16, 17, people would look at me like, oh, shit, steroids. I didn't even know what the fuck. I'm like, what are you talking about? I fucking eat my meals and train all day long. And, you know, I actually always see as a compliment because now I'm so jacked. People think I'm fucking steroids. And this is a fucking 16, 17-year-old kid who just love working out. You know, so I think I stepped on stage at the age of 19. And when I did the Irish, was it called Spring Classics? RBBS Classic. Spring Classic. You know, I did a couple of shows. Then I started winning shows. And then 2013 was my first year when I got to represent Ireland on an international stage. And then 2014 was when I won my first international show, the Arnold Classic. And that's when I actually decided, look, listen, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life because I just love it so much. And winning the Arnold Classic as a junior just gave me so much motivation, so much drive that maybe I've got what it takes to make it to the top. So ever since, I just kept my head down, kept grinding and just, you know, kept believing in myself. My family didn't believe in what I was doing. They did not support it because they thought it was wasting my time. 2014 was when I moved to Dublin. Quit my job, moved to Dublin. I was homeless in Dublin for like, I think it was like a month. I was living in my car, you know, until I was able to get a place. And yeah, man, it's been a pretty crazy journey, bro.
I remember when you were homeless in Dublin because I was actually working in the vitamin shop with the mutual friend of ours, David Geller, at the time before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. David. And he was telling me, he was like, oh, Blessing is, because we had met at that point. He's like, oh, he's homeless in Dublin. He's looking for a place to stay. And to see where you are now is just incredible. Like out in Florida, out in the States, doing shows and having such an impact on people's lives to the virality and the comedic effect of your videos is incredible to see. But I want to pull it back there. You mentioned your family that didn't believe you could do it. And I 100% get where that's coming from. What you've done now is so extreme and beyond the realm of some people's possibilities that comment doesn't surprise me. But Blessing, how did you overcome that? How did you push past when people that were close to you were telling you can't do this or this is a bad idea? How did you get over that?
I mean, you know, it's like, it's actually a good thing when you tell your dreams to like your friends or your family that, you know, okay, I'm about to do this. And they said, no, it's not possible. You're wasting your time. I feel it's a good thing because like, that means they think it's so big that they can't wrap their head around it, that, yo, it is not possible. And I see that as a fuel, motivation, like, all right, you guys don't think it's possible just because you guys can't do it? Watch me. I'll do it. I'm going to show you guys. So, like, you know, and that's the kind of message I'm always trying to preach to the younger guys. Like, look, listen, you've got a dream so big that all your friends, all your family thinks it is not possible. That's when you know you're actually chasing something that worth fucking grinding for. Because if you tell a little dream to a friend, like, ah, yeah, everyone's done it. Ah, that's easy. You know, that's off. But then when they start to tell, like, nah, that's not possible. It's a good sign that, look, listen, you're onto something here. Yeah, man, I just really believed in my ability. I believe in, you know, because growing up in Africa, you know, my father's a farmer. So at the age of like 3, 4, I'm like on the farm, you know, cutting down grasses, picking up crops. And so I came from hardship. So I'm used to, like, you know, just working my ass off. When I discovered bodybuilding, because bodybuilding is all about work. It's literally grinding, falling in love with the journey. Like, before bodybuilding, I already fall in love with the work. So it's like, look, all I got to do is just go into the gym and fucking kill myself, right? I'll do that. And right after, I'm going to feed myself. So when I discovered that, look, this is just my passion, I believe with this work ethic that has been installed in me as a kid, it just make the job easier. This is easy, you know? So that's the way I see it. And from there on, I just want to be the best. I've been grinding, and so far it's, you know, it's looking good. And I think I'm on my way. So now I'm like, when my family see me now, like, wow, okay, we start to see something here. So they now they support me, and which is pretty good.
I love that. And when you say dreams to reality, and when you think following your passion, like, you're one of those people who jump straight to mind. Like, I've had young guys message me and will have big goals, particularly competitors, bodybuilders, less so now. I'm like, go follow Blessing. I'm like, Blessing's from Mayo. I was like, that's a guy. And because people have this mindset of, you know, I'm Irish, or I'm from a small town, or whatever it is, I can't do that. I'm going, go look at what that fucker's doing. I was like, take inspiration, take motivation. I'm like, that's what you do. There's something else I want to unpack there, because that mindset side is so important, Blessing. And when I was doing research for this podcast, I've been following your stuff for years. We've obviously known each other. But when I was doing research for the podcast, I came across one of your clips from Generation Iron on YouTube about, you know, you have to stop giving a fuck about what people think about you. It was in relation to social media. How did you get to that point? Or is that something that you've always had quite naturally?
Again, I would say it's kind of natural. You know, like I said, everything goes back to being brought up in Africa. I feel nothing, no shoes, no fridge, no electricity, nothing. And then given the opportunity to live in Europe, in Ireland, where it's like you see people wearing shoes, people have clothes on, and, you know, people, you get a phone, and there's electricity everywhere. You got fridge now, you know, you got clean water. Life is like, it's like you're living your dream. When I first moved to Ireland, that's what it felt like. I'm like, yo, so people can live like this. So when I would be going to school and people be calling you all kinds of racist shit, like, y'all, you skinny African kid, blah, blah, blah. None of that matters. You know, what matters was like, shit, I am given this opportunity to live like this. This is all I need. So whatever people were saying to me, I couldn't even register, because now I'm here in Europe, I'm here in Ireland, I'm living my dream. I'm living like a human being comparing to the life that I was living in Africa in poverty. So I think making that transition, you know, coming to Ireland and then hearing all kinds of stuff and people, kids saying all kinds of shit, and none of that could register. So now when I was growing up, and then now we have social media, because one of my things as well, you know, when I decided to do bodybuilding, and I sort of like, okay, I live in Ireland. I live in Castlebar, fucking town, like everybody knows everybody, little town. How can I get myself out there? How can I be seen? Then I discovered bodybuilding. I mean, I discovered social media. And my person, I have this personality, like, you know, it's like, I'm always positive. I'm always happy. I like being goofy around. I like to make people laugh while working hard. And people around me, they notice this. And I'm like, okay, so how can I share this energy with people? Social media. And when you start to put yourself on social media, bro, like, you know, you're going to be faced with all kinds of, because people out there now, everyone have the right for the opinion to comment, to say whatever they want. So jumping into social media, you know, making all these videos, you getting all kinds of comments, hate, love. With times you grow and you kind of get used to it. I kind of got used to people saying, okay, of course it was hard because you read comments, you know, people say some shit that will hurt you, but over the time you get used to it and it just wouldn't matter anymore. So when I actually stopped giving a fuck what people say on social media and actually just kept being myself, kept making these videos, and everything changes for me. And that's when I'm like, look, listen, if you really want to live your life, you got to stop giving a fuck. Because it doesn't matter what people think about you. It's all about how you carry yourself. And once the people realize that they can hurt you with whatever they say, they're going to stop because they can't stop you. So that's what it is. Just going for it and not giving a fuck.
I love that. It's so motivational. But I'm going to stay on that because you've given me a nice little segue. Talk about quitting your full-time job in 2017 and then going down the path of social media, because your social media growth was explosive. Mm-hmm. Like it was something like 1 million followers in like 6 months. It was crazy fast. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that, quitting your full-time job and then going down the path of social media. I know it came hand in hand with competing in bodybuilding, but talk to us about that.
Okay, so 2017, right? That's when I wanted to get my pro card. All those years I've been, you know, I moved to Dublin in 2014. I was homeless for like a couple of weeks. And then I landed a job as a security officer. I was working in Dices, actually. I don't know if you know Dices, like one of the busiest clubs in Dublin. So I worked there for a while. And while I was prepping for that was a Hornell class in 2014. After winning that show, right, the plan was to give 2 years off to get my pro card. And in order to get a pro card, you got to win one of these pro qualifying shows. There's a lot of them all over Europe. You got to win one of these pro qualifying shows, and then that will qualify you to be a pro. So I quit my night job. Then I got another job as a security officer in IKEA. So I was working in IKEA. Look, long hours standing on my feet and training twice a day. It was hard. And then I had to decide, because I had to decide what I wanted, you know, because I wanna go pro. Bodybuilding is what I want to do as a full-time job. I hated being a security officer. It's just not. It just got to the point where I'm like, yo, you know, it's just too hard with training twice a day, standing 12-hour shift all day long. It was just not working. And then that's when I started posting on social media as well. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to focus on content creating and I'm going to get my pro card. And from there, it's just going to see what happens. So I left my job in 2017 and then that gave me so much time to train and then focus on social media. So that's when I started pumping content. Of course, you know, spending more time, you know, investing in myself, pumping content on social media, making all these videos. So that's when my videos started to go viral. That's the same year that I got my pro card and everything just exploded after quitting my job.
I love that. Do you remember? I know there was a time period there that every video you made went viral. Do you remember your first viral video?
I think one of the first viral video was a CCTV one.
Can you explain that one to us briefly? Yeah. For those who haven't seen it, I'm going to link it in the description to click onto YouTube and watch the video. It is hilarious. Just give a brief explanation.
That was crazy. That was viral all over the place. And
that was on CNN.
We did that video in nearly 3 minutes. It was filmed in Blanchardstown. Was it Tesco? Yeah, Tesco. You know, I was with my girl, my wife now, Sarah. She's the one that filmed it. You know, we made it look like a CCTV. And we pretend it was a CCTV. She held the camera up real high. And I was just pretending that, you know, I noticed the camera and I started flexing. I didn't even think much of that. It was just one of those like simple videos. You wouldn't think like, oh shit, we'll go viral. I thought it was funny, but I didn't think it was that funny. So I posted that and that just went mega viral. It was crazy because it got picked up by Fox News and they had me to come on a live show to do an interview. I'm like, hell no. But I ended up, I did that interview and it was insane, bro. You know, and that's the thing, you know, with fitness this day now, we have social media, we have Instagram. It's just a platform for us like to market ourselves and to be seen. And because without, to be honest, without all the social media, all the skits and all that, I won't be where I'm at today. Because bodybuilding is hard, you know, to get up there, to get out there, especially to secure sponsorship, doing bodybuilding alone, it's extremely hard. Because bodybuilding is not that relatable. Especially if you look at the guys now, you know, the top pros, it's like you just can't relate, you know, because all they talk about is their food. And that's just boring. No more people can't relate to it, you know. So I just found a way where I can make myself relatable, more entertaining. And that's what I did when I made my pro debut. You know, when I was going to make my pro debut, I was like, you know, I was asking myself, because half my followers, they follow me for entertainment, for the funny stuff, the skits. And I'm asking myself, how can I deliver my pro debut in an entertainment way to get them invested, to get them interested in it? So that's where I started trash talking. I don't know if you remember, I called out this guy called Nick Walker. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're about to have this, like they do in MMA, like stuff like Conor McGregor, stuff that something like Conor McGregor would do, you know? So we did that, and that became so, people just loved it, and people just got so interested in it because they didn't know what was about to happen. This is a fight, and people that don't understand bodybuilding, they're like, what's good? Because we got poster made everywhere. People were talking about it. I was calling names. It was coming back at me. So we just made it into this huge event, and it worked. Again, it's all about being relatable for me and just keep everything entertaining.
One of the most interesting things about you, Blessing, from an objective standpoint, removing kind of my friend hat and somebody that's known you for a long time, how do you keep being relatable? And that might sound like a funny question, but a lot of people, when they get to a certain point, particularly with the amount of success you've had in bodybuilding and social media, how do you stay grounded and be relatable with it? Do you have, is it, you know, talking regularly with Sarah, who I've met, she's lovely. We met a couple of times in Dublin as well. How do you keep that relatability? Because it's very easy to lose that when you get to your level, and you haven't seemed to have lost it at all. If anything, you've gotten better with it.
For me, you know, it's all about being yourself. You know, like we talked about earlier on, you know, not giving a fuck what people think. Be you, be real, and just be yourself. So, I can't change. It's just who I am. And I think if you're being real and you're just, you know, just be yourself, you know, giving a fuck, you know, because most of the guys, they put on this fuck, it's like, it's a mask. And they only show you on their social media what they want you to see. A lot of them hide, you know, and I always try to keep everything relatable and telling my stories and, you know, how I got from Africa to Ireland. And because a lot of people, they watch these videos and they can see themselves in it. Maybe they've been through the same stuff. So it's all about being you and being real.
Do you have a favorite video that you've created? I know some of them are very short skits. Some of them are longer. Some of them are collaborated. Some of them are by yourself. Do you have any particular favorite or one that you still look back and love when you see it?
I mean, I love most of the videos that I created. And probably, I don't know, the CCTV one, probably one of my favorite ones, because like it's one of the videos that, you know, got me. A lot of the followers that I have that got me seen by a lot of people. And I love every single one of them. And that's how I was able to secure, you know, most of my sponsorship, because followers that I get from creating those contents. Probably the CCTV one will be my favorite.
What's your favorite thing about bodybuilding then? You mentioned the grind there, but as someone who has achieved what you've achieved and has so much more, when you see the future being incredibly bright within that professional space, what's your favorite thing about bodybuilding, Blessing?
They're probably the work, the principle. In order to do bodybuilding, you really have to, like, you got to have some sort of a principle, and you got to be able to stick to guidelines and of course, you know, believe in yourself and just have that drive and work ethic. Because without that drive and that work ethic, it's just not possible. Because when you're doing the same shit day in, day out, it gets bored. So you got to be able to, like, you know, keep yourself in line, locked in, and be able to just follow your goal and just grind. You know, because it does get bored. Because it's like, again, when it comes to diet, it's the same shit day in, day out. Very repetitive, you know. So it's you got to love the grind.
What were some of the mistakes you made starting off? Were you somebody that when you started training first, automatically, because I know you were a hard gainer initially, scrawny initially, and then you responded and got very strong and very big. Did you make any really obvious training or diet mistakes when you started off?
I didn't train legs as hard as I did upper body. You know, because back then, you know, you're like 14, 15, you know, you just want to have nice abs, good arms, and nice chest. So you would, me and the guys, you know, we would train chest like nearly every day, you know, while neglecting legs. Because, I mean, then again, you know, because we didn't know nothing about bodybuilding. We just loved to work out. We just, you know, we loved to pump. And that was it. I didn't start training legs until I found out about bodybuilding that, oh, maybe I can actually compete here. So that's one of the things I'm sure a lot of guys can relate to it. That just training upper body every day, training arms every day, and not being able to like kind of maintain that balance, that bodybuilding mentality, you know? So that would probably be, if I had to go back now, I would probably train legs a lot more.
It's so funny. The amount of guys that have that same answer and the amount of girls who are like, I did too much cardio. It's just consistently the same mistakes that people make when they're starting off, which is funny that there's so much overlap on that. Yeah, it really is. I've got a couple of things that I want to unpack. Some of them are social media related. Some of them are bodybuilding related. But I actually don't know the answer to this. So I have to ask it, because if I didn't ask it on air, I'd ask it on off air. Where did the Boogeyman nickname come from?
You know, actually, that name came from a movie after watching one of the John Wick movies. Because I love John Wick's probably one of my favorite movies. I mean, the Boogeyman is like is the guy that, you know, nobody can touch him unless John Wick is the only guy that can kind of match up to the Boogeyman. And they never showed John Wick taking out the Boogeyman. You know, I kind of like that name. Get my pro card in 2017. Like I said, you know, with me, it's all about keeping everything relatable and making everything as entertaining as possible. From doing those skits, you know, my mindset is just like, if I'm going to do this, I want to make it relatable. I want to make it entertaining, because half my followers, they just follow me for the entertainment stuff. I wanted a name, you know, a stage name, something that's catchy, a little scary, you know. So I thought Boogeyman is actually fit perfect. So when I got my pro card, you know, I was like, you know what? I actually came up with the name before my pro card, because that's when we started marketing Boogeyman in 2017. That's right after that. A couple of months later, we came out with a pre-workout called the Boogeyman with my previous sponsors. And I had nothing to do with that pre-workout because they're scumbags. They fuck me up. You know, so it's crazy because people are still actually buying this pre-workout and they're tagging me. You know, they're tagging me. I'm like, yo, stop buying this shit. This company is fucking, they stole my shit. You know, so that's where the name came from. You know, it's just all about that entertainment kind of mindset. You know, that's what sort of made me to come up with something unique, something, you know, something entertaining. It's an awesome name in the IBB family, you know.
I 100% agree. I love it. I loved it. I think it's one of those things that instantly people connect with. Now, I didn't know the origin story. And again, as someone who's a huge John Wick fan, like I 100% am with you there as well.
Yeah.
I want to put it away and we won't go down that sponsorship route for liability reasons and all the stuff. We've both been in trouble with brands in the past, so we won't go down that. But you did a recent post on Instagram about how you can't fake passion. And I think that's an important thing. I had a human behavior expert on the podcast a couple of weeks ago who specializes in inspiration, passion, that whole region. And I found it really interesting. Talk to his blessing about how you can't fake passion and where you got that idea from.
You can't. Social media is all about, you know damn well, social media is all fake. You know, everything is, that's why, you know, when I see people pulling their real life problems on social media, sometimes I just laugh. It's like, why are you pulling your personal problems? And nobody's out here to help you. People are out here to laugh at you, to make jokes. They might act like, you know, but social media is a marketing place and a lot of things out there are fake. For me, it's like passion is, because it's just no way you can fake passion, because it shows in the result. If you want to be a bodybuilder and you truly believe, okay, this is your passion, it's going to show in the result. So if you're trying to fake something, it's like it won't work out. It will not work out, you know? And with me, it's like, you know, bodybuilding is my passion. Because a lot of people, they love to talk trash, and especially the way I came into the fitness industry with a sort of like a kind of like funny, joking. They'll call me the Instagram bodybuilder. And especially because of what happened in our pro debut, it didn't go the way we planned. So they're like, nah, this guy does not take bodybuilding serious. He is his number Instagram. I'm like, dude, you guys have no idea where I came from and how I got to where I'm at right now. They have no idea the work I have put in. And all that is passion for me. You can't fake it. You can't fake hard work. Because it's just not possible.
It's the tip of the iceberg.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah. People don't see all the work that goes on underneath. And I think being inspired, being passionate about what you're doing is the secret sauce, because it doesn't feel like work. I think that's when you can get it.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get to that point where what you're doing doesn't feel like work, but to the outside, it effectively is work to people, you're going to do great things. You mentioned the pro debut there not going as planned. When you think of failures or things that didn't go the way you wanted to, do you have any favorite failure, blessing? One that didn't turn out the way you wanted at the time, but was something you learned from in the long run and has served you since?
To be honest, probably last year probably would be my biggest lesson ever, you know? There's no losing, only learning. There's no failure, only opportunities. Last year, like I said, you know, me going into my pro debut, it was a lot of hype. It was insane. We had people, actually, New York Pro was probably one of the most viewed live streaming bodybuilding because of the hype that we generated through the meeting versus the boogeyman, you know, so everybody was just so pumped for it. So everybody tuned in for it. We had a lot of hype. Everyone was talking, and so people were expecting a lot of big things from me because I wasn't quiet. I was talking. It takes a lot of balls to go out there and talk like that. It takes a lot of balls to beat Conor McGregor. You know what I mean? So when you talk like that and you generate that much energy and then you did not deliver, it's a big slap in the face. So last year I experienced something that probably I had never experienced before. Now, again, the placement that I want or not looking the way I wanted to look last year, that really hit me. I got a lot of flashback from people, from fans, and a lot of people went crazy at me. It was a top period. It was a really tough period for me, like to the point where I really just want to shut down social media. Mm-hmm. And now when I look back, it's probably one of my favorite failure ever because I learned so much. I got to experience a little bit of depression, which is something that I could never relate with again. You know, when you grew up in Africa the way I did, you're just mentally tough because you've seen everything, you know. So before, when people be talking about mental health issue with me, I just get out of it, you know, but it's not that easy. Last year, feeling like that in front of the whole world and yeah, people commenting and people saying all kinds of shit, it will get to you. But I did get, after a period of months, I pulled myself back up and I looked back and I'm like, okay, that was a great experience. That was an awesome learning curve. Now I know a lot more about my body, because prepping for that show was my first prep in 4 years, because after I turned pro in 2017, you know, I decided to take a break and just, you know, fill out my frame slowly and gradually and do the safe way. Bodybuilding is all about being smart and doing everything the safe way. So I took those 4 years off, you know, to put on all that mass and prepping with all the new mass that I've gained. It's like dealing with a whole new body. It's a whole new experience. So you got to figure things out. So you got to go back to the bottom and try to figure your body out. So it didn't work out. It was a big smack in the face and it was a great lesson. And now I'm 5 weeks out from a show and everything that I learned from last year pouring into this prep, and it's absolutely probably one of the best prep I've ever had.
The high end of no losing, only learning. I love that line, Blessing. I think it just, it's so true, when it changes that failure is feedback.
All about your perspective, you know, in anything, you know, it doesn't matter what situation I'm found myself in. I always try to look at the positive side of things, because if you're looking at it, you're making it worse. What's happened has happened. You only make it worse when you start looking at the, spending all your time on the negative part of it, instead of start looking for solution. So always trying to see positive things and positive in every situation.
How did you move through it at the time, Blessing? If that was a very unfamiliar feeling for you, obviously, because of your background and coming into Ireland from Nigeria and all of that perspective and not having any previous history with mental health, as something that I'm on the other side, I've had my issues with it. Mm-hmm. That was your first experience. How did you move through that? What was your process? Was it removing yourself from social media? What did you do to get through it?
It's like, I wish it was that easy to remove yourself off social media, because that's literally what I wanted to do. I wanted to delete my Instagram. I want to delete everything, because it was just, I just don't want to see any of that anymore. You know, when you're at this level, it's your job. You have sponsors, you know, you gotta do your job. So you can't just shut it down. So I couldn't. It was tough. At first, I didn't know what it was. I mean, I wasn't able to sleep for like 3 months, bro. I'm like, what? I did all the tests. I'm like, what's going on? And it was, everything came back. I was fine. Then I started to talk to it with my friends. I'm like, shit, I think I'm fucking dealing with depression here, bro. Like, I'm suffering here. Having a long distance relationship, because my girl was, Sarah was with me after 3 months after. She was with me maybe a couple of weeks after the show, and then she had to go back to Ireland. And I live here and she lives. We were kind of doing back and forth, visa purposes. So living here by myself, it didn't help as well, you know. So I got to deal with all that. So when I start to open up to my friends here, and like, shit, I think I'm dealing with depression. So the more I talk to them about it, and, you know, just start to, you know, I kind of start to find myself again. During this time, it was really rough because I was not sleeping. I've never had sleeping problem in my life, to the point where I would wake up like, I mean, I would just stand up and like get out of bed at like say 3 a.m. I'm just hoping the time goes faster so I can just do something, go to the gym or something. So that lasted a while. Talking to my friends, and then Sarah flew over as well. And having Sarah back here was actually helped as well to just sort of rewire my mindset, and talking to her about it really helps a lot, you know. So it was a crazy time.
It shows the importance of your inner circle, though, and having those people to turn to when you're struggling. And again, struggling is so relative, and different people have different things going on in their life, but we all go through it at some point when there's lows, and turning to people is absolutely key. Blessing, you mentioned the show in a few weeks' time, and that you learned so much from your pro debut and taking what you've learned into it. Outside of bodybuilding, outside of competing, is there anything else that you're exceptionally excited about right now? What's in the future for you that you are really getting excited about? Or is it all show-based, bodybuilding-based at the minute? What are you kind of getting revved up and jumping out of bed for every morning at the minute?
This next show for me is extremely important. You know, my goal is to make the Olympia. So I have the Olympia dream right now, and that's what I'm working towards every day. And I'm 4 weeks out from this show. So winning this show, winning the Indie Pro will means, you know, that will qualify me for the Olympia. And dude, listen, for every bodybuilder, their dream is to be able to step on the Olympia stage. Being able to get on the Olympia stage, winning this show, opens up a lot of doors, opportunities. I'm just generally excited about this journey. It's been a mad journey, and I am just super excited to see where I go from here.
And no doubt the dream ultimately is Mr. Olympia. Like, I think that's the North Star. As somebody with your crazy genetics mixed with that work ethic and that showing up and consistency and mindset. Like, I've had Dorian Yates on the podcast, who's won multiple Mr. Olympias as well. Yeah. And there's so much overlap with your thinking. Yeah. Like, unbelievable person to speak to. And as I said, there's overlap with the way you think and the way you approach things. So success leaves clues for people. Leslie, and I have only a couple more questions that I want to ask. And I've loved this conversation. As I said, I love the message that you're putting out there, but today, especially, is very inspirational and motivational, hearing about where you've came from, where you are, where you're going. I think it's going to light so much people with a fire under their ass as they need it. We've talked it 100% will. Blessing, if you had advice to a younger version of yourself, going back to 18, 19, when your life has completely taken on this upward trajectory to the moon when it comes to success in your field, what advice would you offer your younger self if you could go back, or somebody in a similar position who has a dream, has something that they're working towards, and just some words of either encouragement or something that would support a version of you from that point? What would you say?
A message for my younger self. I don't even know. I think I would, I don't know. I would say, great fucking job. you know, like I said, you know, just like, you know, the way I grew up, and I've always had this, hunger for success in me. Like, you know, when my parents give us a stranger, you know, and we were able to make it to Europe, the sentence was, listen, go out there, get a better education, get a good job, become a lawyer so you can come home and help us out someday. So that message is always been, you know, just like ringing in my head, though. I'm here to be the best of something so I can go back home and help my family. So that hunger has always been there. Like I said, I didn't know anything about bodybuilding when I started working and stuff. You know, my goal is to do good in school and go to college. All I wanted to do is go to college, become a doctor. I actually literally wanted to become a doctor. And I did everything that I could, you know, to achieve that dream. It was 2011 when I finished school and I was supposed to go to college. And actually, I did pretty good in my living style. Actually, I was proud of myself. I gave up training for studying for my living cert, and I lost a ton of weight from it. I actually lost nearly all my gains. I wanted so bad because I never see myself doing anything else. I want to get a good job. I want to become a doctor. I actually got an offer to study at University of Limerick, UL. But I couldn't go because I was in Irish citizenship. I didn't have my Irish citizenship then. So that's what killed that dream. And because with that, you get a bit of grant, you know, helps a little bit of with the money to be able to go to college. And living in Europe by myself and, you know, living with my brother, there was no way, you know, that I can get that money together to go to college. So not being able to go to college, that killed me. And that's when I focused on personal training and lifting weight. And then a year later, that's when I did my first show. So I've always had the hunger in me, like, you know, the hunger to become something. So when I discovered bodybuilding, my goal is to be the best. Be the best of this, go home, and help my family out. So what I would say to any younger person out there, you know, it's all about discovering yourself, finding that thing that you're really good at. If you just, anyone out there listens to this message and you're a little lost, you don't know what to do, just find that thing that you're really good at, that thing that you cannot go to sleep without thinking about. And just go all out and be the, it doesn't even matter whether your family believe in you or not, whether your friend believe in you or not, just say to yourself, I love this and I want to be the best at it. And trust me, it's going to turn into your passion. Your passion is going to turn into your career. So you will spend a day, you will never work a day in your life, because guess what? You're doing what you love. And from that, you're able to make some money through it.
Of that. And I couldn't agree more. Someone that's on the opposite side when it comes to speaking with people, writing books, doing what doesn't feel like work to me and getting paid for it. We're both in very fortunate positions. And I think we both have that gratitude anchor for it. But for anybody that's listening, when you're doing things that inspire you, that make you jump out of bed, that you're passionate about, it doesn't feel like work. I think it's just one of those philosophies that if I could go back to my younger self, I would say something very similar. Blessing, I just have one final question. You have a huge presence on social media. nearly over 500,000 followers on YouTube, 1.8 million over 1.8 million on Instagram. And you're putting out, just as I said, hilarious skits. Like, I've gone down the blessing rabbit hole at times when I've gone from video to video to video to video, and I've just been in tears with some of them. But if you could have access to everybody in the world with an Instagram account, and you could put up a message for those people, what would you say to them? Anybody who is struggling or has a dream or has a passion or has something that they want to go and do, and you could say a single message and hit everybody in that Instagram world with the message that would go onto their wall, onto their feed, onto their story, what would you say?
Sure, that's a tough one. Don't let naysayer deter you from your goals and dreams, especially when it comes to social media. Because when you start to put yourself on social media and you let people know, this is who I am, this is what I want to do, nothing's going to stop me, guess what? Here comes the haters. Here comes the bad comments. Here comes, no, you can't. Here comes, nah, you ain't got no legs. Here comes, nah, you will never be a pro. These are the people who are sitting in their mother's basement just looking for attention and saying all these things. And trust me, you know, some of these comments kills a lot of dreams. You actually do see people taking their own lives just from reading comments from people that they don't know. It's maybe it's just somebody who's just looking for a little bit of reply, saying, oh, you're not gonna make it. He's just looking for a little bit of attention, because I get it all the time. This guy might be, oh, you look like crap. And I reply back to the guy, oh, thank you. I go, oh, bro, thank you so much for the reply. And you get hundreds of this. And a lot of people, we're not all the same. A lot of people can't handle all these comments and all this negativity through social media. You know, so again, I would just say, don't let nobody stop you from achieving your goals and dreams. Block all the haters out, block all the negativities, block out all the bad comments. They do not matter. What matters the most is what you think about yourself.
What a wonderful way to finish, Blessing. On such a positive note from such an incredibly positive person. I've loved this conversation. As I said, there's so much here for people, Blessing. For everyone that's listening, where is the best place for them to connect with you? Is it through Instagram? Is it through YouTube? Or is there any particular
one? Instagram, YouTube. I'll be on a TikTok to do my Lou dance, you know. Boogeyman, Blessing the World, the Bull. You find me on there anywhere. I'm everywhere.
And for everybody listening, I will link up everything we spoke about in today's episode, the Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, in the show notes on BrianKeyFitness.com and in the description wherever you're listening to the podcast. Blessing, mate, keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring. And thank you so much again.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me on this. It's kind of nice to catch up with you, man. You the man. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing the great work. Keep inspiring. And yeah, man, just keep killing it.
There you have it, IFBB Pro Bodybuilder Blessing Awadubi on discovering your passion, the power of gratitude, and how to stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Very hard to not be inspired and motivated off the back of that conversation. I'm so glad that we got to catch up. For those of you who want to hear my top three takeaways from this podcast, be sure to sign up to my weekly newsletter every Thursday in your inbox. You will get my top three takeaways from today's podcast. I think it's going to be heavy on the mindset side today. So just head over to BrianKeenFitness.com. And pop your email into the newsletter on there. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to take a screenshot, pop it up on your Instagram stories. You can tag me, Brian_Keen_Fitness and Blessing_Awadubi on Instagram. And if it's your first time listening and you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to hit that follow, subscribe for episodes coming every single Monday. That's all from me. Catch you all next week.